Welcome to Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV, bringing you the big conversation, bringing you the great debate. But it can only be a debate if you join in. That's why, above all, I need your telephone calls. 44208-601-4555. That's the number. You call us, we'll call you back and establish a clear line. If you get through to me, make sure the volume on your television set is set at zero. You can SMS the call through to 44780008066. We try to get our SMSs up there on the comment wall. Similarly with emails, which you can send to comment@presstv.co.uk. Well, it's all happening. Saudi Arabia, there's going to be a day of rage. There might be a revolution in Saudi Arabia. Can you imagine? I've just been reading comments by Dr. Mai Yamani, the celebrated and famous Saudi academic. Dr. Mai Yamani in The Guardian says, "No kingdom is an island, particularly when it sits in a sea of revolution." Well, the revolution is coming to Saudi Arabia, first in the eastern province tomorrow, and then across the whole country next Friday. In Yemen, the dictator Ali Abdullah Saleh is still gunning down demonstrators in the south and the north of the country. But a critical mass of opposition has now built up, and his days are pretty obviously numbered. Tonight, clerics have brought forward a scheme by which he can ease his path out of the country and out of power. Rupert Murdoch, the newspaper magnate, first an Australian, then British, now American, a man who makes and breaks governments and terrorizes democratically elected politicians, at least by their testimony before the House of Commons Select Committee, has, perhaps expectedly, been given the green light by the British Prime Minister and his Culture Secretary to take full 100% control of B Sky B, the highly successful broadcaster and broadcaster, amongst other things, of Sky News. There's a bit of fancy footwork being introduced as a kind of concession, whereby Mr. Murdoch will claim that he's no longer calling the shots at Sky News in exchange for this green light by the government, but no one really is fooled by it. Perhaps surprisingly, or perhaps not, Ofcom have gone along with the government's plan, which pleases Mr. Murdoch. That's Mr. Murdoch, who's also the broadcaster of Fox News, which never seems to get any trouble from Ofcom. There you go. In Bahrain, the dictatorship is killing women and children, and they're doing it with British-supplied weapons. And the British government is in cahoots with the government in Bahrain to sell them even more military hardware. That's hardly surprising either. 15 years ago or more, I was campaigning in the House of Commons against the British Colonel Ian Henderson, widely accused and alleged of presiding over a regime of torture. And I myself brought into the Houses of Parliament in Britain victims of the Bahraini security services who showed the world the scars of that torture. Now, oddly, the US Fifth Fleet is actually based in Bahrain, but the American president hasn't raised a single word of criticism about the behavior of the Bahraini dictatorship. On the other hand, he's now sailing part of the Sixth Fleet towards Libya, where the gunning down of unarmed demonstrators is completely unacceptable, you understand. It's okay for weeks in Cairo. It was okay for weeks in Tunisia. It's okay even now in Bahrain. But it ain't okay in Libya. There's a threat of a foreign invasion of Libya. This, everyone surely must oppose, because sending the forces of the imperial countries into the maelstrom that is Libya can only mean disaster. That's at least my point of view, and it is my personal view and not the view of Press TV. Still less is it the view of the government of Iran. Moreover, if you have a different point of view, then I definitely want to hear it. Your call, your SMS, your email will be prioritized. Let's take a call from Bahrain, from Hussein. Hussein, welcome to the show, my friend.
Hi, George. How are you?
Very well. Tell me, how are things in Bahrain today?
Things in Bahrain. Demonstrations here and there. People will be marching tomorrow to different places. And
do you feel the demonstrations are getting bigger?
Well, they are getting bigger. The more the more time you give it, people will get
more confident.
Yeah, so it gets bigger and bigger, and it puts a lot of pressure on the government to do something, you know.
But the regime isn't really moving like the one in Tunisia, where the prime minister has just been sacked, like the one in Egypt, where the prime minister has just been sacked. There's no real sign that the Bahraini regime are moving.
Well, moving that soon is not really easy, but with the demands that the uprising youth people have, I think there will be definitely some changes in a very near future.
I mean, the Prime Minister of Bahrain's been there for, I think, 40 years, am I right?
40 years after the independence, but he was there since 1961.
1961, so that's 50 years, in fact.
Yes.
So we've got a Prime Minister in Bahrain who has the support of a minority of the population and who's been in power for 50 years. But I don't hear any criticism from the British or American governments about that. Now, we've got the Fifth Fleet based in Bahrain. Is there any sign of them, or are the American personnel keeping off the streets?
Well, the life is very normal in Bahrain, okay? Except sometimes you see that we have heavy traffic. But this thing is going on very peacefully. Nobody is harming anyone. We don't have anything against any living human being on Bahrain ground. Everybody is going to work. They come back from work. The only problem we have sometimes, it's not a problem, but it's a scene, you know, that you see heavy traffic. Sometimes we have truck parades or whatever, you know, things like that. And it's this way, you know, people have demands, you know.
Do you think the people are going to win?
I'm sure.
Excellent. That's very good news. Let's go to Saudi Arabia. Talk to Soriba about Libya and maybe about Saudi Arabia too. Yes, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Now, you want to talk about Libya. Are you able to talk about Saudi Arabia?
Oh, no, actually, I'm very much concerned about the plight of Africans south of the Sahara Desert.
Are you thinking of the people that Gaddafi is hiring as mercenaries?
Well, this idea of hiring mercenaries is a very bleak issue, because we can remember Gaddafi has been a friend for black Africans over the years, and thousands and thousands of Africans flocked to that area. So now this idea of hiring black Africans, it's somehow misleading. So I got a call from a friend who told me that there is a massacre of black Africans because of this propaganda on the, what's called televisions, saying that black African mercenaries have been hired by Gaddafi. But actually, Mr. George, what we would like to state here, that the quietness or the lack of a positive response from our African leaders, this is a worrying matter. So we've seen European countries are trying to send plane ships to rescue their nationals, but we had nothing about our black Africans.
Very good point. Very good point, Soriba. And although there have been African mercenaries in the employ of the Gaddafi dictatorship, that cannot be denied. But the vast majority of African workers in Libya are just that, just workers. Ali's on the line from Libya. My goodness, we're at the front line this evening. Ali, welcome to the show, my friend.
Hello?
Yes, hello. How are things where you are?
First, I'm from Bahrain.
You're not from Libya? It said Libya on the screen for me. I beg your pardon.
No, it's okay, Mr. Galloway. First, it's my pleasure to hear your voice.
Thank you.
A supporter of freedom.
Thank you.
Yes. I'd like to comment that, in fact, we as Bahrainis, looking at the British and U.S. Situation towards Bahrain, we look at it as a very disappointing and foxy at the same time, because we are running peaceful rallies and we're taking these civilized ways to express our opinions. However, instead of at least supporting us with words, they go and support the dictatorship. So they ignore the torture, the political detainees, and, you know, instead of just providing weapons, they provide torturers like Ian Henderson, as you know.
Is he still in Bahrain, Ali? Do you know that?
Yes, unfortunately, he's still in Bahrain. There are many torturers that cannot be, like, at least judged or put into custody.
Well, all of us will be judged one day. Ali, thank you very much. Stay safe, and may God protect all the good people of Bahrain. We're talking about the wave of revolutions throughout the Arab world. We're talking about the days of rage tomorrow and next Friday. And we're talking about Rupert Murdoch, who, perhaps unsurprisingly, has persuaded the British government and Ofcom that he should be allowed to become even more dominant in the British media market. Let's go to Bahrain again and talk to Nadal. Nadal, welcome to the show, my friend.
Thank you very much, George. Yes, this is Nadal from Bahrain.
Hello, Nadal. Tell me, how are things with you?
Everything is okay. Here the people here in Bahrain, they became very angry after the attack of 2 weeks ago. I mean, the peaceful demonstration which was on the road, and it was full of children and normal people. They were just asking for their needs and demands, and they were against the prime minister and, the political citizenship, which they bring. As you know, the majority of Bahrain are Shias. But we never had a discrimination between Shias and Sunnis in Bahrain earlier. I mean, we never knew what is Shias and Sunnis. This is done only lately by the government itself, because they had the fear and they always thought that the Shia will be against them. That is the only thing which was inside them, and they didn't feel secure being in Bahrain. They wanted to own the land as if this land is only for them.
Now, they've been in power. They've been in power for 230 years. The Khalifa family, yes?
Yeah, they've been in power, and they've been in power for how many years? But, you know, under
230 years, the family has been in power. The prime minister has been in power for 50 years, 40 of which as the prime minister of independent Bahrain. And yet the West doesn't seem to see anything strange about that, Nadal.
It is very strange because, all the businesses, even here in Bahrain, all the businesses, when you go to the hotels and everything, I mean, it's owned by the prime minister himself. As I said, he's been a prime minister, but he's not only. This is like a business for them.
Indeed, it's a family business like so many others in that region. Nadal from Bahrain, thank you very much. Stay safe. May God go with you. Let's stay in Bahrain. Talk to Ahmed about the events unfolding there. Ahmed, welcome to the show.
Hello, George. How are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you, more importantly?
George,
what's the situation?
Yes. The situation is we are living with a family that they say that they're Muslims and they run by the Islamic rule. But we are living actually exactly like the Zionists, you know, like the Zionists when they attack the Palestinians and they kill the people and they took their homes. And then they say, okay, let's negotiate. Let's start from zero. That's exactly what's happening here. They kill the people, okay, on cold blood with military arms, okay, which is supposed to support the people and the country, not attack his own country with the military. They sent 15 Abrams tanks. It's 1,050 tons of tanks for people that are carrying flowers. Imagine. And
how do people feel about the foreign weaponry that's being used? How do people feel, for example, about the British selling some of the weapons that are being used to suppress the people of Bahrain?
I mean, of course, we feel bad because you can see there are British weapons and some of the materials that we found, they are French also, okay? So basically, they are selling the weapons to this family. They have army, okay, and weapons just to keep their chairs. It's not to keep the country safe.
No, of course, okay? There's nobody threatening Bahrain except its rulers. So that's Britain, France, and the United States supplying weapons to a dictatorship to kill peaceful demonstrators, whilst France, Britain, and the United States are sending their warships off the coast of Libya, threatening to invade because of the gunning down by a dictatorship of peaceful demonstrators. You couldn't really make that up. Thanks very much indeed, Ahmed. Let's go to Kenya, which is where Colonel Ian Henderson cut his teeth, if you get my drift, and talk to Mohammed, who's asking why dictators act this way. Mohammed, a very good question. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. My question is why dictators act this way. However, the British and the U.S., the British and the U.S. will only see where the interests lie. They will only act if there's a specific interest they have got. Look at Sierra Leone. Look at Ivory Coast. Nobody is saying anything about Ivory Coast when people are dying there because of the two self-declared presidents. Nobody has put even a single pressure on the leaders in Ivory Coast to stop the bloodshed. And America and the U.S. and British have not said anything. So as far as Africa is concerned or the U.S. and Britain is concerned, they only look at where the interests lie. They don't see whether what they're doing is right or wrong. But to answer my question, to answer the first question, which I want an answer from you, George, is what do the dictators think like? Are they not humans? What's happening?
Well, a scorpion stings, Mohammed. A scorpion stings because it is a scorpion, and a dictator acts in this way because he is a dictator. They persuade themselves, clearly Gaddafi has, that their whole people love them, and that after 42 years of oil and gas riches beyond imagination, the fact that many people in Libya are poor, many are unemployed, many more are underemployed, whilst the Gaddafi family builds up personal wealth of billions and billions of dollars, doesn't seem to impact on them in the way that you would if you were a logical and a rational person. You would know that your people could not love you in those circumstances. But these dictators, at least Gaddafi, and I think Hosni Mubarak, and I think Ben Ali, all believed that their people loved them. The dictators in Bahrain, I'm pretty sure, know that that isn't true. Now, Ramir is from Cairo and wants to talk about the ongoing revolution in Egypt. Ramir, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Yes, go ahead, sir.
Hi, George Shalvi, how are you? And thank you very much to invite me to your show.
You're welcome. Go ahead.
Actually, Cairo is, of course, everybody prepare himself for tomorrow, for Friday anger.
Is it going to be another big event in Cairo?
Sorry?
Is it going to be big again in Cairo?
I not hear properly, please.
Is Friday afternoon going to be another big demonstration?
Yes. Tomorrow afternoon will be a big demonstration which will reply for the millionaire of demonstration in Tahrir Square tomorrow. And also that is the problem protesting for Ahmed Shafiq to go and his cabinet, which he is gone today.
Well, this is a very considerable victory, Ramir. Congratulations. You have just swept away Mubarak's last prime minister. And now we have, as an acting prime minister, a man who was at least demonstrating with you in Tahrir Square. Mubarak, this is a big achievement for the Egyptian people.
Yeah, we have another. We have another demand for 4 or 5 demand, and it is easy for the army to do it without any. They have the power to do it, but I don't know why they are very delayed. Which we want to dismantle Amn al-Dawla, which National Security Guard of Amn al-Dawla, because that is all Egyptian being harmed by this branch, particularly, and we don't want to see it anymore in the government. This number one exercise. And another thing, we ask him for catch all the property of the Hizb al-Watani, National NBC, to catch them.
And this was the ruling party. You want their property seized, you want Mubarak's assets seized, and you want the emergency law to be abolished. Am I right? And why isn't the army moving on these things?
Yeah, and they dismantle as well the Hizb al-Watani, and that is easy. And also the emergency law to have to scrap. And I don't know why they are not wanting to do that. Which is
well, who knows? Maybe tomorrow. Maybe tomorrow or next week. But you've got to keep the pressure up. That's the point, Ramir, and congratulations for doing so. Let's go to Cairo, talk to Yusuf on the same subject. Yusuf, welcome to the show.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, very well. Go ahead, please.
Hi, how are you? This is Yusuf. We have demonstrated together a few times for Lebanon and Gaza. And,
wonderful. Well, stay safe, Yusuf.
I was with you in the UK. I've got a few points I want to make here today. To start with, what are these Zionism? And the U.S. has planted these dictators as seeds, and these seeds and these dictators, now their time is up. American, U.S. and Zionism switching over to the people side, which is, we all know it's a lie. They just pretend, which they have no interest at all. And I want to make another point today is Iran and Syria, they're trying to say these are regimes are dangerous, which we all know they've always been supportive of the Middle East and revolutions. These two regimes have always been...
Whoa, what a shame. We've lost Yusuf. That's a pity. Let's try and squeeze in Mohammed in India, on Libya and the West. Mohammed, welcome to the show.
Hi, George. You all right?
Yes, very well. Go ahead.
Good, good. George, I would like to make comment on the Libya at the moment. First of all, I would like to salute the brave people in Libya, where they're standing against the dictator. And up till now, according to the show, 6,000 people have been assassinated. So I would like to tell them that carry on what you're doing with. And up till now, they were fighting against one dictator. Now they have another coming in through the Suez Canal. We come in the USA and the UK warships here. So now they have to fight two of them. And I would say that they should definitely carry on what they're doing is. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them a victory. And another point is to the intervention. Why in Libya, where many people have been killed in Egypt and Tunisia, and if you see the intervention, they didn't do anything of the Republic of Congo since 1998.
No, where 6 million people have died. Mohammed, tell everyone in India to tune in to Press TV. We need a bigger audience phoning up to comment on Thursday nights from the great people of India. We're going to go to Qatar after the break. We're talking about the revolutions in the Arab world. We're talking about Rupert Murdoch, who doesn't need a revolution because he seems to have the British government and agencies like the Office of Fair Trading and Ofcom pretty much under control without having to fire a shot. It's extraordinary, but not surprising. This is George Galloway. This is Comment, and this is Press TV, and I'll be back with the second half of the show after the news. So I need your calls, I need your SMS, I need your emails, I need you to stay tuned to Press TV. Welcome back to Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV every week at this time, bringing you the big conversation, bringing you the great debate. But I need your calls, your SMS and your emails to the addresses and numbers coming up on the screen. We're touring the world tonight, all right. Let's go to Qatar now, talk to Ghaffar on Libya and the West. Ghaffar, welcome to the show, my friend.
Hi, George.
Nice to hear from you in Qatar. Go ahead, Ghaffar.
I feel great being with you this evening, George.
Thank you, sir. Tell me what you think about the Libyan situation.
Let me quickly remind the world about all your activities over the very recent time.
Please.
When Tony Blair and George Bush were selling the dossier of weapon of mass destruction to as a platform to invade Iraq, you are on the side of the masses. Well done.
Thanks.
Recently, when you led a convoy of donated goods of relief materials to Gaza and Hosni Mubarak blocked you out, you are on the side of the masses. Well done. And I congratulate you and the good people of Egypt to see the back of Hosni Mubarak.
Thank you.
Although I'm not in support of Gaddafi, but my concern is if U.S. and U.K. has the opportunity to enter Libya, how can we be sure that the experience will not be the same like Iraq? And don't forget, and the whole world should not forget, when the U.S. military people entered the streets of Iraq on the first day, people were throwing flowers and asking them, oh, come and liberate us. The result is negative. And
well, look, Ghaffar, I'm with you entirely on that subject. I believe if foreign soldiers touch the ground in Libya, the ground will burn under their feet. I don't believe that the Libyan masses, whether they are with Gaddafi or against Gaddafi, will tolerate the recolonization of their country. And that's what it would be. If these foreign armies, navies and air forces enter Libya, they'll be determined never to leave. They'll want to occupy the country to protect their investments and to stop the Libyan people from coming to the realization that they don't need these foreign companies. They're perfectly capable of taking their own oil and their own gas out of the ground and marketing it to the international marketplace. Ghaffar, I'm with you. Absolutely. No foreign invasion or intervention in Libya. I'm absolutely clear about that, and I'm against Gaddafi. Let's go to London. Talk to Asma on the Arab Revolution. Asma, welcome to the show.
Hi, George. Good evening.
Good evening to you.
How are you?
Very well. Tell me, what do you think?
Right. I hope you hear me out. Well, when Hillary Clinton speaks as though she was the one who actually brought about the revolution in Tunisia and Egypt and all these other Arab countries, they forget that they strongly supported all these leaders who are now using those same weapons to massacre the people of the region. And just, you know, the same as the American and Britain are killing innocent people in Afghanistan and Pakistan, the Israelis are also killing in Gaza. Yet, the Human Rights Council say and do nothing. They're killing. Tell me, are their killing justified when other people killings are not? Like, for instance, are you mentioning Bahrain? And where is the no-fly zone by the American and British when the Israelis are killing the Gazans? It's such a hypocritical stance that all of them come on the TV and take. It really makes me annoyed.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more, Asma. You put it brilliantly. Where was the no-fly zone over Gaza in Christmas and New Year 2008-2009, when 1,615 Palestinians, almost all of them civilians, most of them women and children, were killed from the air when they had no defense at all? And many of them were refugees entitled legally to the protection of the same international community, which was absolutely silent. They're hypocrites, not Democrats, Asma.
No,
you and I are at one on that. I'm sorry I'm not cutting you off, but I've got so many people on the line, I really must try and get them all in. Brilliant call, Asma. Let's stay in London, talk to Mahmoud on Libya. Mahmoud, welcome to the show.
Good evening, George.
Good evening, sir. Go ahead.
Keep up your good work, and I hope Allah give you all the energy to keep up with this good work all the time.
Thank you, sir.
The situation in Libya is because of the guy, Gaddafi, is totally mad. He is not normal. Otherwise, he will never carry out such atrocities ever. The other thing, if the humanitarian aid is needed, UN should only allow some Muslim countries to allow and take the goods needed for the people of Libya.
I agree with that entirely, Mahmoud. What we need is aid going in from the masses of Egypt and Tunisia, going into each side of the country. There is absolutely no need for the former imperial powers, with the blood of Iraq and Afghanistan still dripping from their weapons, entering any other Muslim country. Mahmoud, thanks for the call. Let's stay in London. Talk to Mumtaz on the same subject of Libya. Mumtaz, welcome.
Hello, George.
Go ahead, sir.
Good evening to you, sir.
Good evening.
First of all, I would like always, say you thank you very much for the good work you are doing.
Thank you, sir.
I'm a oppressed British Kashmiri, and I'm just seeing the situation, what is going on in Libya at the moment, and I'm seeing the double standard of these Western nations, what they are doing right now today in Libya, and they are not doing anything. 150,000 Kashmiris have been killed by the Indian security forces, and I haven't seen anything like this happening in to save Kashmiris, which has been killed by the Indian security forces.
No, so well, that's absolutely problem. Right, that the UN Security Council resolution, more than 50 years extant, which demands a plebiscite in occupied Kashmir so that the Kashmiri people can decide how they want to live, in which state they want to live, has not been implemented, and no one is raising a finger to implement it. On the contrary, the just demands of the people of Kashmir are being drowned in blood by the biggest occupation army anywhere in the world. Of that, I'm absolutely clear. But if someone has a different point of view, someone supports the Indian position in Kashmir, I definitely want to hear from them. Similarly, if there anybody out there watching me tonight supports Israel's actions in Gaza in the Operation Cast Lead, we really want to hear from you. And of course, your calls will be prioritized. Let's go to Cardiff in Wales, talk to Saeed on the media and the Bahrain revolution. Saeed, welcome to the show.
Thank you, George. And I would like to, first of all, greet you wholeheartedly and salute your effort.
Thank you.
And your work. I would like briefly to say that bring the attention of the world on the heroic act of the people of Bahrain to rid themselves from the oppressive regime there, which annihilated and deprived them from their right and killed many of them. The Bahrain people are very, very intelligent, hardworking, decent people, and they don't deserve to be neglected by most of the satellite televisions in the world, except the Press TV and Al Alam. I would like to salute those two television broadcasting stations and hail them as the hero of the Arabic broadcasting stations across the world. None of the other satellite stations have brought to the attention of the world the predicament which the people of Bahrain are in.
I'm certainly doing my best, Saeed, here. We've been highlighting this in Bahrain from the start. I was just looking on YouTube at a speech I gave in Parliament in 1997. On the situation of the oppressed majority in Bahrain. And of course, as you say, Press TV is doing a magnificent job in keeping this issue out there. That's why more and more people are tuning into Press TV, which is why those who don't like us and don't like what we're saying are doing their best to try and put us out of business. Let's go to Portugal, talk to my old friend, Cristina. Cristina, welcome to the show. Cristina, are you there? Oh, what a pity. We've lost Christina. She wanted to talk about the mercenaries that are in Libya. Maybe we'll get her back on the show. We've got her back on the line. Christina, welcome.
Hello, George.
Yes, yeah. Go ahead.
No, I'm a bit concerned because there's an awful lot of cash in Libyan banknotes that have recently been impounded from the printers in England. Now, was this cash destined to pay the alleged mercenaries that are allegedly working for Gaddafi? And I think all this business is about a nasty three-letter word called oil. And I think it is a CIA Israeli plot to overthrow Gaddafi.
Oh, no, you're completely wrong about that. Gaddafi is being overthrown by people who've had to endure 42 years of his dictatorial rule. 42 years in which, moreover, when they all should have been millionaires, each and every one of them, a tiny population with an ocean of oil and gas, when they all should have been millionaires, in fact, the only millionaires are billionaires, and those are all in Gaddafi's family and clique. That's what the people are revolting about. The fact that they've got no ability to express themselves, organize themselves, form themselves into any kind of party or association, because the dictator will imprison them at best and kill them at worst. Now, I knew that all along. The Western governments, including the CIA, are just discovering it now. Or rather, they knew it before, then they forgot it, now they've discovered it again. Gaddafi's goons were trained at Sandhurst and at the National Police College in England. We gave weapons to Gaddafi. Mr. Blair embraced him very warmly indeed. And I believe when the books are open, you'll find out just how warmly that embrace really was. Let's stay in London this time and talk to Nick about Rupert Murdoch, who's just had a bit of a result today, Nick, yes?
It was a real victory of the free market, wasn't it?
Yes, a great victory for Mr. Murdoch. Who would have thought it?
Sorry?
Who would have thought that Mr. Murdoch would get another victory?
Well, I think anyone that's got any knowledge of the Conservatives probably would have thought it. But
Vince Cable's the man who's let us down on this. If he hadn't been such a fool, there would have been a different decision today, don't you think?
Absolutely. He should have held his tongue. But I think it's just, I mean, if anything, it's shown how weak the coalition really is. I mean, the Conservatives really got their way. Jeremy Hunt's kind of done very little. He's allowed it to go through. In fact, I heard him on Radio 4 just now saying that he wanted to disinvolve himself from the deal as much as possible to aid the plurality of media somehow. It doesn't make sense. The whole thing doesn't make sense.
No, and David Cameron was sitting down with all these Murdoch chieftains over the Christmas New Year holiday, knowing that this matter was on the government's desk.
Absolutely. Murdoch does seem to me almost like an unofficial member of cabinet. He's got a huge amount of power.
He's much more powerful than a member of the cabinet, Nick. And indeed, his power spans the continents, doesn't it? Fox News is now the dominant news service in America. More people watch Fox News than any other news. And the foxification of the U.S. media is now unstoppable and dragging all the other news corps down into the gutter with them. They are increasingly aping Fox News. And of course, the danger is that something like that happens here in Britain, isn't it?
I think that's true. I mean, again, when I was listening to Jeremy Hunt earlier, he was quoted as saying that no single person had done anything quite as great to bring so much plurality to media and news coverage as Rupert Murdoch. But that seems completely paradoxical, considering it's one person.
Exactly,
who's got a
one
huge
person.
Amount of money and power.
Mr. Murdoch owns 40% of all the newspaper circulation in Britain, and now owns the Sky broadcasting empire, which is making $1 billion a year. Profitable, so profitable that he wants to buy the whole shebang. Nick, thanks for your call and for your insight. Mark in London wants to talk about the same thing. Mark, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, good evening, George. How are you doing?
Very well. What do you think of the Murdoch deal?
I think that it's an absolute disgrace whilst our politicians are talking about democracy in the Middle East and about delivering regime change. What we need to be talking about at this moment in time is how can we deliver regime change at home. Giving Murdoch a free rein over media has nothing to do with plurality, has nothing to do with diversity in media, and just shows the extreme class bias that we're witnessing at the moment in our society.
Absolutely. I mean, he is the Berlusconi of the Anglo-Saxon world, isn't he?
The fact is that Berlusconi and Murdoch himself have had long and wrong battles in Italy itself over the last few years, and Berlusconi won those battles. Murdoch is trying to do the exact same thing as the banks are trying to do to us, the same thing that the politicians are trying to do to us, and it's the same agenda that we're seeing over and over time again, and the struggles which are intensifying, namely that we, ordinary people, are going to be paying for the crisis. And the fact is, we're going to be paying for this now. Our media is going to be less unbiased as it was.
Well, even less, yes, even less. Mark, thanks very much for that. If any member of the Murdoch family is watching, or any supporters of Mr. Murdoch, or any supporters of Jeremy Hunt's decision today to give him the green light to take over BSkyB are watching, please call us, because we want to hear your point of view. We really, really do. Let's go to Spain, talk to Abdullah about Libya. Abdullah, welcome to the show, my friend.
Thank you very much.
Go ahead.
This is the first time to come to your show.
Excellent. I hope it's not the last.
Yeah, I'm very happy sometimes if I see you anytime in your show, since you are going to the Gaza and everything. In fact, I'm very delighted. But this is the time that I'm supposed to also come on the air and also say my view.
Excellent.
What I wanted to say is about the Libya. In fact, some people are sending messages on the air and they're showing that Muammar Gaddafi is useless and so many things. Sometimes I feel it very painful because if you have been in Libya and you have seen the situation in Libya, you will not say so many things. Because I've been there, and let me tell you, Muammar Gaddafi has helped a lot of Africans. And at the same time, his own country. Listen, I remember when I went to Saudi Arabia, that was 2007, I was crying because I saw a woman begging food. Begging food, and an Arab woman, I don't know whether she's from, she's maybe in Saudi or wherever she comes from, but I found it very difficult to understand why. I cry on my eyes. But you will never go to Libya and you see even dog starving. So this man knows the type of the people they were. That is why God has given them the type of the person to control them. But let me tell you, I want Muammar Gaddafi, if he decided to go. But what they are going to see there, it will be so many differences.
Okay, look, it's not a great line, Abdullah. Let me say that it's true that Gaddafi has spent a lot of money in Africa. How effective that expenditure was for the alleviation of the many problems of Africa is another matter. But one thing he did do is he did assist the African National Congress during the apartheid period, and he assisted the African people of South Africa to become victorious. It would be a good end, I think, if Gaddafi and his family were to fly on a South African Airways jet into exile in South Africa. That would be a respectable, symmetrical end to a dismal and pathetic dictatorship. Abdullah in Spain, sorry to disagree with you. Let's go to London, talk to Roland on Libya. Roland, welcome to the show.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Hi, thanks very much for actually sensitizing people on this program. It's a pleasure to take part in this program. Three things that really I wanted to bring to your attention and to the audience, to whoever is listening to this worldwide, right?
Mm-hmm.
The problem with Libya and the problem with Gaddafi that is dominating the news throughout this week since the uprising started there. I think the problem with Gaddafi, if we have to look back, it is a problem started by the West, especially like Britain here where we live. If you look at the problem that happened in Libya and look at what happened in Ivory Coast, there has never been a time that America and Britain ever said that they are going to take their war carriers into Ivory Coast and remove the dictator there who has deliberately refused someone who has been democratically elected, recognized by the UN, recognized by Britain here. But because Gaddafi, this is like a sort of biased organization, they call themselves international community. This is a biased organization against some individual that they don't like.
Well, no, it's not really about that, I promise you. It's about the oil. That's the reason. They don't want Libya to slide out of control of their interests. That's the reason. It's not bile towards Gaddafi. They really couldn't care less about the quality of the dictator. Roland, thanks for the call. Let's go to Paris, talk to Samal. Samal, welcome to the show.
Yeah, good morning. Good afternoon. How are you?
Yes, very well. Go ahead, quickly.
Yeah, this is a very serious issue concerning the world media, now concerning Libya and Gaddafi.
Yeah.
I just saw over your TV, press TV, that the France, Canada, Great Britain, America, they are sending warships toward England, towards Libya.
Yeah.
Actually, what I want to say, the NATO forces around the world have not created problems somewhere and to solve these problems. We are we saw this in Iraq. They created a problem, and that problem yet to be solved. And this is the same problem that's occurring in Afghanistan. This problem yet to be solved. The UN has declared Alassane Ouattara winner in the Ivory Coast, and we are continue to see an escalating problem continue to prevail in the Ivory Coast.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
Not even solved.
No, look, Samal, you're absolutely right. And these warships better not dock. The soldiers better not land in Libya. I promise them that the earth will be on fire around their feet if they do. Haji in Holland, be the last caller. Haji, welcome to the show.
Good evening, George.
Good evening, sir. Quickly.
Salam alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
George, I like to suggest that I see that in this great show of yours, I see a lot of very intelligent people, most of them, I should say, Muslims. They have a lot of good ideas and everybody complaining and diagnosing what the problem is. But I like to ask you to ask the people, so they should suggest a solution. What should we do? We know that obvious that the West, especially America, they are just hypocrites. They do not have the decency of staying in their own place. They grab every land.
Well, that's right, Haji. One solution, revolution. I never thought I'd say that live on international television, but it's never been more apposite. Haji in Holland, I'm afraid, is our last caller for the evening. But I'll be back, God willing, next week at the same time with more conversation, with more great debate. Stay tuned to Press TV.
Hello, just comment your name and location with that number. And just make sure the site, your television volume is set to 0.
0, 0. Can you spell your name for me?
Yeah, I know. You need to...